Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
Called as being minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome, and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You, whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies, to silence the foe and avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. all the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. It's a festival that's named after a doctrine, which can seem odd because normally our festivals are after events. But this is a dogma that we're celebrating. And I would contend that it is in dogma and doctrine, while we might be accustomed to how people use dogma and doctrine as a weapon, in its purest intent, it's to enable people to hear the gospel, so people would be able to hear and receive the good news. To put it simply, the Christian understanding of God is that God is love. This is a God that creates, a God whose love brings us together, which might be why our first lesson is from Genesis. We hear that first creation story. Contrary to what some of us may have heard about creation, God did not create because God is lonely. God creates because God is love. And that love is generously shared. And we see this in the goodness of God's creation. Psalm 8 ponders the presence and sovereignty of God in the universe. In our second lesson from 2 Corinthians, we hear of the love shared in Christian community and fellowship with a benediction that invokes what we have come to know as the triune God. For us creedal Christians, it is adherence and acceptance to this understanding of God as articulated in the creeds, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in which we consider each other to be Christian. It is literally the faith that we are baptized into. We're baptized in the name of the triune God. Share a common baptism with Christians all over the world, across denominational lines. Even in our broken attempts to divide the body of Christ, we see the most fundamental aspect of our faith. The first sacrament of initiation into the universal church is what always binds us together. Love unites. It's hate that divides. One of my favorite images of the Trinity that you'll hear me share over and over is God as lover, beloved, and the love that is shared in between them. The Holy Trinity is not a doctrine to be mastered, but a mystery that should always keep us humble. It's a reminder that our God is not a distant God, but that God's self is relational. And we're invited to take part in this divine relationship with our God who is love. It should not be treated also as a dogma that people need to fully just digest and get, it's that they can just hold on to it. But it's really a reality that we are called to live into so that others would experience the God who is with us. In our gospel lesson, when the disciples encounter the resurrected Jesus, we hear that they worship and they doubt it. That's probably a better translation of the Greek. Not two separate groups of disciples, but that the disciples worshiped and they doubted. Ponder that for a moment. God is not something we're ever going to fully get a handle on. Actually, if you tell me you have a full handle understanding of God, I'm going to tell you to lose it. Because that's not God, right? And the doctrine of Trinity does not mean we own God or that we put God in a box. Quite the opposite. Our profession of faith is that the God that we worship is beyond our understanding. But we know that this God creates, and this God dwells with us and loves us unconditionally. Should also serve as a reminder that the word disciple means student. It's a lifelong invitation to be a student of the way of Jesus. It's not something we master at confirmation. It's not something we ever graduate from. It's a lifelong process where we're always growing. We're always learning. We're always being revealed something new about ourselves and about the God who is love. The disciples worshipped, the disciples doubted. You're worshiping right now. Do you also doubt? I do, all the time. And I tell my confirmation students, when we read this passage, that even though the disciples doubt here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus still gives them all the Great Commission. Right? He doesn't say, hey, go sort this out before I give you this assignment. Make sure you have enough faith before you go out and do this. He does not say that. We hear that they worshiped, they doubted, and then Jesus gives them the Great Commission. He doesn't seem bothered by their doubt. Jesus seems to expect this to be part of the life of faith for disciples. He's unfazed. The Great Commission is not a call for us to colonize and dominate others with our dogmas and weapon as our dogmas as weapons and our culture as gospel. We're commissioned to make students of all nations, immersing them. Baptism is washing, immersing, right? Immersing them in the God who is love, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Students immersed in the God who is love. We hear in our gospel lesson today, are to be taught to obey everything Christ has commanded us. We have this hope also at the conclusion of Matthew's gospel. It's the final words that we hear in Matthew's gospel that are not just for the disciples that are present in the story. They're for the disciples of every time and every place. They are the words of Jesus that have the final word. And that final word is a promise that he will be with us always. On this mountaintop that we see at the Great Commission, we might be reminded of Jesus' temptation to have the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus has a different kingdom in mind. On this mountaintop, we might be reminded of the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 8. We might be reminded in Matthew chapter 14 when Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. When Jesus is on a mountain and ends up healing crowds. We might be reminded of the time where Jesus is on the mountain and there's a transfiguration. Or the Mount of Olives in Matthew chapter 21, 24, and 26. the worship that the disciples exhibit on this mountain might also remind us of the visit from the Magi. Might also remind us of the women who have just previously worshipped Jesus resurrected in chapter 20, verse 9. And doubt existing alongside worship is found elsewhere in Matthew's gospel. Think of Peter trying to walk on water unsuccessfully. Doubt and worship takes place in that same narrative. After Peter's lifted up, they worship him. The church is commissioned here to baptize and to teach. But the question we always have to ask ourselves, what are we immersing people into and what are we teaching? Is it an immersion into a new way of life that calls us to love our neighbor, but then redefines the love of neighbor that is expanded to our enemies? Jesus teaches us that. Is it an immersion in pure-hearted giving and faith practices that draw us closer to God, as opposed to engaging in practices that are performative displays of piety to just impress others? Is it teaching people that we cannot serve two masters? That where our heart is, there is our God. And that we can't serve both God and money. That we should give our worries to God. And that when it comes to judgment, we should worry about the beam in our own eye and not the speck of dust in our sibling's eye. Are we teaching people and encouraging people to find ways to bring healing to the suffering? Are we eating with outcasts? Are we feeding the hungry? That's just to name a few things that Jesus taught us in Matthew's gospel alone. And whenever we gather for worship, we are disciples back on the mountaintop with God. We come here bringing our worship and our praise, but we also come here bringing our vulnerabilities and our doubt. And the good news, the promise that we hear, is that our God has claimed us at baptism. That we're joined to a God that has the last word. When we gather on this mountain, we're taught, we're fed, and we're reminded of God's abiding presence in our lives, in word and sacrament. And then we descend from this mountain, reminded of our mission and the great commission that is bestowed upon us as disciples. It's not to go out into the world and assure people that we have all the answers. It's to go out and to make disciples, to invite others to be students like we are, followers of Jesus, who continue to learn, who continue to grow, and who are continually reminded of the promises that our God has for the whole world. Reminded that the God that we worship is relational, and that the God that we worship is faithful. The Holy Trinity is not something we can comprehend. Nor is God's love. Nor is God's grace and mercy. All of that is beyond our comprehension. So I think it's neat that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has the final word. Because that is the hope that we cling to in a God whose love knows no bounds or no ending. That in our worship and in our doubt, we seek to take on this great commission that our God promises to be with us always. The God who is love continues to bring us together, sends us out immersed in the way of Jesus, immersed in showing us a new way of being human in the world, and reminds us that our relationship with the God who is love is a relationship that will never end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge the baptism and forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. Holy Three, Holy One, you call the Church to make disciples of all nations. Encourage bishops, pastors, and deacons in their proclamation of the gospel, and direct all the baptized into lives of humble service. God, in your mercy. Holy Three, Holy One, you spoke creation into being and called it good. Protect lands and waters threatened by human misuse and sustain living creatures of every kind, wild animals, birds, fish, and every creeping thing. God, in your mercy. Holy Three, Holy One, you have given humankind authority over the earth. Raise up leaders who listen earnestly, speak honestly, and govern thoughtfully. Heal divisions between nations, that we might agree with one another and live in peace. God, in your mercy. Holy Three, Holy One, you promise to be with us always, to the end of the age. Surround those most in need of your healing presence, all who are lonely, all who are grieving, and those who are sick, especially Mary, Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Alice, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Kelly, Diane, Carol, our homebound, and the family of Jared Wardlaw. God, in your mercy. Holy Three, Holy One, you set the earth on its axis, and we experience the seasons. Strengthen those enduring challenges this summer, those who suffer in the heat, parents overwhelmed by childcare responsibilities, and children experiencing food insecurity outside of school. God, in your mercy. Holy Three, Holy One, you give rest when our work is done. We give thanks for all the saints who now rest in you, confident in the promise of resurrection life in the age to come. God, in your mercy. Thank you. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke
new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's, our Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life, lived for others, and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen. 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 Lord Jesus.
Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this field your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us for life. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions, as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until, needy no longer and bound to you in love, we make peace forever in the triumph of the Lamb. From all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. You've been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go for the whole world of his love.
Amen.
Church and Paul, centered in the Word, strengthened in sacraments, sanctified.